All Things Timbo, episode 9. Check out allthingstimbo.com. Click on support. Right now, there's three options. You can donate Bitcoin, you can shop Amazon, or you can shop $6 shirts. Today, I have DJ next to me, and we have my friend, my coach, my employer now, Corey Paskevich. You want to give us like a brief rundown, I guess, of like your fitness background, because you've been kind of all over the place.
Yeah, man. I mean, I've been in pretty much, been involved in sports my entire life. Right out of high school, got a job at a gym. I was pretty much mentored from a very young age. They kind of took me under their wing there, all the trainers and everything. Taught me a lot of stuff, got to read a lot of books, you know. Ever since then, I just kind of continued to expand my knowledge. One day hoping to own my own gym, be a trainer, all that good stuff. And, you know, here I am today, one of the owners of CrossFit Oak Creek. Got a lot of experience, you know, just from my whole fitness background before, you know, my bodybuilding background, kind of started out in the bodybuilding world. Got into MMA fighting, did a little bit of that. You know, I was always an athlete growing up. So the one thing I found when I started bodybuilding is you lose a lot of that athletic ability. So my MMA kind of helped with that. And even my later years of bodybuilding, I started training more like an athlete, you know, going kind of back to my roots, you know, all that good stuff. So when I found out about CrossFit, it's kind of a natural fit for me, you know, got that competitive side, bringing out that athletic ability back. It pushes you harder than anything I've ever done before. So kind of forces you to be better than you were, you know. So that's kind of how I started.
Can you talk a little bit about your bodybuilding experience, because you're pretty decorated around here?
Yeah, you know, I started right out of high school, so, you know, when I got a job at a gym, you know, all I wanted to do is kind of, I guess, learn how to eat a little bit better. I wanted a six-pack was my main goal, and wasn't fat or anything like that, but, you know, I thought I was doing everything right, you know, eating healthy, all that. Found it out, you know, I wasn't eating enough, and that's kind of how I started out learning there. So it happens that the guy, the head trainer and manager at the gym, his girlfriend at the time was doing a bodybuilding show, and they kind of got me ready for it, and that's kind of how I started right there. So I ended up winning a bunch of team titles, starting out from a very young age, you know, kind of kept up with that, you know, over the years. So I guess about 13 years I've been bodybuilding. Won my first overall title in 2006, you know, won Mr. Wisconsin three times already. Best abs winner, got my pro card in the WNBF or Natural Bodybuilding Federation. So pretty amazing. I mean, I guess I've won a lot of different titles, you know, from the natural bodybuilding side and all that. So
he goes from wanting abs to winning best abs.
I was just about to mention that.
There you go.
That works.
Yeah. Can't complain there. So,
I started CrossFit at your gym, and, When people ask me what I do to work out, I say that I started doing CrossFit, and the first question they ask me what is CrossFit, and I have trouble explaining exactly what it is. What would you tell, like, what would your answer be to that question? What is CrossFit?
You know, I got that question a lot too, and you know, I really didn't know how to answer it in the beginning too. I mean, it's the best way I found to answer it is, I mean, basically we make you better at whatever it is you choose you want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't really specialize on one thing. You know, we're going to make you more flexible. We're going to make you stronger. You're going to build muscle. You're going to burn fat. Just kind of continuing on with all that stuff. I mean, whatever your goals are, I mean, we can help you reach that. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to compete, you know, it's a little bit, you're going to have to put a little bit more work and do a few other things. But basically, CrossFit, it's going to make you better at everything. More well-rounded person, you know, feel better, look better, perform better.
So is CrossFit for everyone?
You know, I think it is. You know, it varies depending on what level you're at. Obviously, you know, someone like you and a grandma aren't going to do the same type of weight or have the same intensity. But
maybe, I don't know.
you never know. I mean, it could be. But, I mean, the movements that we do in there, it's stuff that we do in everyday life. So learning how to deadlift, picking up objects off the ground. You know, we all need to train that same way. Mm-hmm. It's just going to vary by how much weight we're going to do and the intensity, depending on your fitness level.
So everyone's body is specific and like tailored, obviously, to their genetics and everything. And I mean, you even said that you were working really hard, but, you know, didn't really see results until, you know, got that personal trainer to let you know, you know, what you were doing wrong. Do you think that CrossFit might be too general, or like, because as far as, I don't know, personal training goes?
You know, I think depending on what each person's goals are, I mean, that's where you're going to have to tweak it a little bit. You know, so I mean, a lot of it, it's 80% nutrition. So what you're putting in your body, you know, that's going to be a big part of it. I think a lot of people forget that component. Okay. So you can do any type of working out program, and if you're not feeding your body right, it doesn't matter what you're doing. You're not going to see the results. You know, CrossFit's going to help with all that. But what I like about CrossFit is, you know, when I started bodybuilding, I lost a lot of athletic ability. It wasn't real flexible. Didn't move around good. I was sluggish and tired all the time. With CrossFit, I feel better. I'm more flexible. I'm stronger. I really didn't lose any size at all. I mean, I've gotten bigger and stronger training for CrossFit. And I guess those are more my goals. So I focus it a little bit different that way, too. I mean, like I said, depending on what your goals are, you're going to have to vary that. Like a power lifter or someone that all I do is bench and deadlift and, you know, squat. I mean, it's probably not going to be for them. Because their goals are different, you know, so.
How beneficial do you think, like, protein drinks are for you? Because a lot of people are like, oh, that's unnatural, and, you know, if you're really good, you'll get it the old natural way, and.
You know, I have, it's a big pet peeve of mine, this whole thing. I could talk for hours on
let's,
this.
We got hours, let's do it.
That's the thing, I mean, most people, I mean, if you can eat whole food and do that and get 5-6 meals a day and get everything your body needs, you know, more power to you, but let's face it, everybody's busy, we have work, school, kids, our jobs, whatever it is, I mean, schedules don't allow it all the time, so I know for me, I mean, I'm on the go a lot between classes, you know, I come home and usually only have an hour or two in between that you get a good sit-down meal, so I'll do a lot of protein shakes to supplement my body when I can't get protein from whole food. So I kind of use it as that. I mean, everybody's protein needs are going to be different. I mean, if you have the time to sit down and eat all the time and do that, go for it, you know, but I think it's safe to say most people don't have that time to do that. So,
and I mean, even if they do, like a lot of people sit down and like they can eat all day or whatever, but you're still not getting some of the essential, you know, vitamins or minerals that you need in your diet. Cause they're just not, you know, practical to be able to get all of it in the way that you're eating.
Well, exactly. I mean, I think that's the other thing people got to realize is even if you are eating healthy and clean, to really get everything your body needs, I mean, you'd have to be eating a ton and a ton of food, and most people be overweight. You know, so the other thing is, I mean, quality of food now compared to 10, 15, 20 years ago, I mean, it's not the same. So you're getting less nutrients now than you were years ago, you know, and plus with all the chemicals, pollution, all that garbage they put in things, so you know that quality there diminishes a little bit too. So you know, if you're find a good supplement company, you know, that tests for a lot of purities and contaminants, things like that, I mean, make sure you're putting good nutrition in your body. I think everybody needs that no matter how well they eat, so just to fill in those gaps.
I was gonna ask a question for you, Tim, actually, because you know, there's a lot of people that think certain things are healthy for them, but they turn out not to be. I think wheat was an example that you gave me. So what's I didn't understand when you were explaining it to me. Maybe I can.
Was it gluten?
It could be gluten. I was talking about getting breads and something, and you're like, no, that's not good for you.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing with me, I can't, like, function. Oh, I can't go long periods of time gluten-free. I've tried. And just, you know, I have the urge for pizza. But the thing with gluten is it's proven to be high inflammatory.
Yeah.
And, you know, you I mean, you want to stay away from high inflammatory foods. But for me personally, you know, I need pizza sometimes.
You know, I'm the same way. I mean, I try to limit breads and dairy as much as I can. But, I mean, I have it a couple times a week. I mean, we got to live a little bit. I need it, too. Like, I feel the way you train, especially if you're training, you know, 2 workouts a day, sometimes your body needs the food and calories to perform.
So that's what I mean. People have like this, you would think like, you know, dairy, I'm going to get vitamin D and calcium, bread, I'm going to get wheat. Like this sounds good to me. Why are we avoiding this stuff?
Yep. I mean, I guess it all depends too. I mean, what the rest of their diet looks like. There's better options to get those nutrients in there other than like milk and things like that. Like Tim mentioned, you know, breads and dairy. I mean, those are the two biggest inflammatory foods, and a lot of milk. I mean, it's loaded with sugar, blocks absorption nutrients, things like that. You know, over the years too, just working with people as far as like clients, I mean, the biggest thing, and I always tell this to people, I mean, eating healthy and eating right, they're two different things. You know, I'll come sit down, look at people's nutrition, and they eat a lot of fruits and fruit and yogurts and all that. I mean, where
just the sweet stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not junk food. You know, fruit's good for you. Yogurt, you know, may seem healthy, but it's really high in sugar.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just because it seems healthy doesn't mean it is. You know, it's better than eating junk, but at the same time, you're not going to reach your goal eating fruit and yogurt all the time and like eating one meal a day. You know, So.
Yeah, for me, with gluten, I notice when I eat a lot of it, my breathing kind of, it gets a little messed up. And when I lower it, you know, I breathe a lot better. It's one thing I've noticed it personally. And one funny thing that gets brought up a lot when I talk about, or I tell people that I CrossFit, and they ask, what do you do for cardio? And being a new CrossFitter, DJ, are you out of breath after every workout?
I'm out of everything after every workout. Yeah. I'm out of body fluids, out of breath, out of everything.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the funniest things. But another thing that gets brought up all the time is safety with CrossFit, and how, you know, a lot of people think CrossFit is really dangerous. And for some reason, they stick rhabdomyolysis with CrossFit when you can really get it from, you know, many things. What's more dangerous, a marathon or CrossFit? Let's be honest here.
Yeah.
I mean, there was just a death from the half marathon. What was it, a 17-year-old girl?
Yep.
She crossed the line and passed out, and that was it?
Yeah. I mean, that's more hard on your body than CrossFit. I mean, one of my certifications I was just at, I mean, they brought up the whole subject of safety and whatnot, and weightlifting in general had, like, the lowest record of, like, injuries around. Yeah. You know, and the other thing I think, too, is, like, you know, CrossFit, it's actually organized. Most CrossFit gyms, you know, there's always that exception to no matter what you do. But most of them have good trainers there that are working with you, working on form and whatnot. But you can go into any health club, any big box gym, and I could find 10 people at any given time doing something wrong that would injure themselves. But you don't hear the media talk about that.
Yeah, definitely got to get my form down for sure.
You know, so
that's a big thing.
Yeah, I definitely, like, walking around big box gyms, I see bad form everywhere. Yeah. I've learned more at the CrossFit Level 1 cert than any other certification or any other course I've ever, you know, been a part of.
Yeah.
That's the body's crazy, though, like how you can, like, burn yourself out so fast, especially on, like, with CrossFit. Like, that's so, you know, it's a 15-minute workout, but and it's better than being at the gym for an hour or 2 hours. You know, I've never been able to, you know, just go all out like that before CrossFit. It just fits me so perfectly.
Yeah, but being a new CrossFitter, you say 15 minutes, or is that what you said, 15-minute workout?
I mean, it's usually about 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
Wait until he meets Fran. There's going to be some workouts that are a few minutes long that just destroy you.
Yeah.
You'll be on the ground in a few minutes.
Yeah.
It's the first time I've ever seen steam come off of my head. I lay on the ground. I'm like, what is this fog swirling around my face? But, like, yeah, marathons and things, like, people, like, miles and miles and miles nonstop, their hearts, like, pumping. And a big thing, too, is, like, people don't, like, slow down, so, like, they'll, when they finish their workout, they just stop.
Yeah.
And like, your heart's still, like, pumping really fast, and then you're not doing anything, so your blood pressure is, like, really high. I think you're supposed to, like, cool down, right? I'm pretty sure. I don't know.
Maybe, but sometimes after some of these CrossFit workouts, there's no room, at least for a little bit.
That's what upsets me, though, because after CrossFit, I said this to you before, Corey. I'm like, man, if I can get up and, you know, run around and do box jumps after this, I probably didn't go all out.
Or the other thing, too, think about, I mean, you know, we're laid out on the ground after some workouts. I mean, you shouldn't beat up your body to the point where you're dead flat out laying down every workout, which we'll have days where we do have a really hard workout that you are, days that you're not. I mean, and like you said, they can range from 5 to 20 minutes on average.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we can hydrate ourselves. Imagine how, like, dehydrated we are just after that short little period of time. So then you go run a marathon that is, like, quadruple, even longer the time. I mean, those guys aren't really as hydrated or nonstop going. I mean,
I mean, it's definitely an anomaly to me that they can run like miles and miles. Like, cause me, distance is like my biggest enemy.
I hate it too. I mean, I'm not knocking them. I mean, I give them credit. Yeah, because for sure. I couldn't do it. I mean, I don't want to do it, I guess. But
look, I give them some credit. But have you ever seen a picture of a high level marathon runner, DJ?
No.
Well, the CrossFitters look exponentially greater than the runners.
Yeah, I had an ebook on my website that I compare like a track runner and a marathon runner, and track runner looks a little bit more like a CrossFitter, I guess I'd say, but they look a lot healthier and leaner as opposed to a long distance type of runner or athlete in general. So,
where can they check that out? What's the website?
Corebodyfitness.com. Nice. You can sign up there, get a free ebook, and we'll put workout challenges and fitness tips, things like that on there a lot. So
I got to check that out.
Cool. Check that out. We'll throw it in the show notes too.
That's really cool though. Like how the different body types, cause like you said, that just a track runner and a long distance runner, you know, the track runners, you know, they work out, they really work out the muscles and anything. And like for a high intensity, just blast of energy. But you know, the distance runners, they're just stamina. It's more their heart that they're working out. So it's a real difference. It's crazy though. I mean, there's a guy that swam like, I forgot what the channel or something like that. It was like 15 miles swim. He packed on like 15 pounds and lost all of it just in the swim. It's crazy, man.
Wow.
It's crazy stamina. I can't do it. I really got to work on my stamina.
Yeah.
I've always been like a short distance sprinter. That's why I like CrossFit. I can't go to a gym and just lift for an hour or 2 hours because I won't work as hard as when I push myself in CrossFit. It's just too... That timer, man, it's always in your head. You're always like, shit.
Yep.
And I was never a bodybuilder, but, I mean, we kind of did the same type of workouts.
Yep.
I could never go back.
CrossFit I was thinking the same thing.
CrossFit is just too fun.
Yeah.
Too fun.
Yep.
I don't know how it's fun either, because, I mean,
it kills me. It's the workout you hate to love.
Yeah. But it's so rewarding after. I mean,
yeah, you feel so good.
You can measure gains like almost every week, whereas, you know, when you're bodybuilding, it's like the scale moves, you get all frustrated. It's harder to see any progress. You know, it takes a long time, where here you can see you're getting flexible, your endurance is increasing, mm-hmm. you know, getting stronger like every day, every week. I mean, it's small little gains you see over time, I think, and you notice it a lot quicker.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, fuck, what was I going to say? I forget. Oh, well.
Yeah. Back to safety. Just because of people thinking, like a lot of people talk about how dangerous it is and things like that. Like you said earlier, good coaches. Another big thing is ego. I think people need to leave their ego at the door, you know, because a lot of people might try to go just a little bit too hard and lose form, and even maybe know it, but they're not too worried about it at the moment.
Yeah, I've actually seen that happen a few times at the gym.
I think that's a big thing. We're trying to crack down a little bit more on that, because, you know, a lot of times people they're too worried about their time and completing a workout, and, you know, or they're going too heavy, you know. So we've been backing people down a lot, really telling them to, you know, concentrate on that form. I mean, you got to have both. I mean, you want to do the workout as quick as you can, mm-hmm. keeping the best form possible.
Yeah, that's why I felt bad, though, like on Saturday, because, you know, I'm doing everything all proper. And he, like, I would tell him, like, dude, you didn't pop your hips or something like that. He's like, oh, man, whatever.
Well, that's the thing. Well, your partner from Saturday, he's working on a lot of mobility anyway. So, like, getting his range of motion on squats and things like that. I mean, he's came a long way.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a beast. He's strong as hell.
I saw that.
So.
For sure.
And, you know, I was kind of the same way when I had bodybuild. Like, my mobility kind of went down the drain, like, doing a lot of isolation and things like that. And that's how he used to train. And, you know, he's came a long way. So, I mean.
Yeah, he's been doing it for a year now, he said.
About a year, yeah. I mean, that's a cool thing. You see people, like, you know, they come in here and they can squat down 3 inches and, you know, in a few months, I mean, they're going below parallel, and
that's
just the range of motion, moving around better. I mean, it's awesome to see that.
I remember the question that I forgot earlier. So as far as, like, the muscle soreness or whatever that you feel the day after, onset muscle soreness is what it's called, I think. Do you keep going? Do you push yourself through that? Do you take it easy, take a break, let yourself recover? How do you go about that?
You know,
or how are you supposed to go about that?
It depends. I mean, for me, being like a higher level athlete and trying to compete, you know, if there's competitions and all that, you're going to have to fight through it, you know, kind of man up and suck it up and fight through that competition.
Yeah.
I'd say in general training though, listen to your body. You know, I take at least 2 days off, 1 to 2 days off a week where I'm not doing any like weight type of training. I might do some mobility on an off day and work on some light conditioning, but
so just switch it up then.
Yeah, I mean, there's 1 day a week where I absolutely do nothing, no working out at all, no mobility, no cardio, no weight training, nothing. Yeah. I have at least 1 day off a week, no matter what.
Okay, cool.
You know, as far as the soreness goes, I mean, I try to split it up too. So, you know, maybe my lower body, you know, I hit the lower body really hard one day. Mm-hmm. You know, the next day I'm not going to pound the lower body. So I let my body recover in different phases that way too. Okay. And that pump a lot of good nutrition in the body, so you're not necessarily overtraining that one muscle group. And, you know, if I am sore, I mean, I don't have to be on a set schedule. Like, I know when people would bodybuild or traditional weight training, like Monday you have to do chest, International Chest Day. Well, if I had a workout later in the week and I happened to be really, really sore that day, I'm not going to stick to that. I'll listen to my body and take an off day when I need it.
Because I know that it's like discouraging to some people, like that muscle soreness. They're like, I can't make it. I'm not going to make it.
Well, some people don't know the difference between like soreness and pain. And Josh Bridges, I'm probably going to ruin the quote, but he said, in training, if you are in pain, not sore, but legitimate pain, you stop. And in competition, I'm going to go till I'm dead or something like that. Something along those lines. So
yeah, I think there's one like Rich Ronin said too. Like I actually put it on a quote from a picture of one of my comps I did. I think like in training, you listen to your body. I think in competition, you tell your body to shut up or something and just keep going. Something along those lines. But two very awesome athletes, Josh Bridges and Rich Froning. If you guys don't know him, I mean, Rich Froning, 3-time CrossFit champion. Josh Bridges, another big name up there.
Wow.
Giving Froning a run for his money, you know.
You compete at the regional level, right?
I did last year. Yeah, we have the Open going on this year, so trying to make it back there again this year. And
can you explain the Open real quick?
Yeah, so CrossFit, I mean, if anybody knows about it, you know, it's become more and more popular over the years. I believe the first CrossFit Games were 2007-ish, somewhere around there.
That new, huh?
I mean, CrossFit's been around before that, but I mean, they first started having games somewhere around there. I could be off a year or so. So basically, the past couple of years, they kind of, and I think it's good for the sport, they kind of cracked down on like how you qualify for these different levels and whatnot. So how it's run now in the past couple of years, there's like a 5-week Open competition, worldwide competition. They release a workout. This year it happens to be on Thursday nights. They'll have two games athletes go head-to-head right there and demonstrate, do the workout live for everybody. And we have a couple of days till Monday night to submit our score. Cool thing about it this year is we got to videotape them. Like last year too, you did have to have a registered judge you, but they added the videotaping this year, so that's kind of cool. Pretty pumped about that. Kind of cracks down and makes it more of a legitimate type of sport, I think. So at the end of the 5 weeks, the top 48 people in the region, top 48 guys and girls in each region, get to go to regionals. They qualify for that. So
nice.
Our region, we have, I think it's about 11 states in our region. So we have a pretty big, tough region.
That's really cool to me. Like how, cause you know, these people like to weightlift and everything, and that might get you, you know, the strongest man in the world title. But like with CrossFit, you know, they have the CrossFit Games, you get the title of the most fit, you know, athlete on the planet. That's crazy. Yeah. Like,
exactly. I mean, you gotta be strong, you gotta have endurance, you gotta have everything.
To be able to say like, I'm the most fit athlete on the planet, like that'd be so crazy.
Greg Glassman talks about the hopper model, and he brings that up. You want to talk about that real quick on what makes CrossFit so great?
Well, kind of like what DJ was saying too, I mean, it's like with CrossFit, you got to be good at everything. So part of this hopper is basically you put every exercise into this big hopper, and you should be able to pull out anything and be well-rounded at it. You don't want to, like I said earlier, like a power lifter, I mean, they're gonna be good at, you know, deadlift, bench, and squatting, and whatnot. Okay, whereas CrossFit, you want to be good at everything. So throw swimming in there, rowing, gymnastic-type movements. I mean, We want to make people more well-rounded.
That's crazy.
Whereas it's not just one specializing thing.
Yeah.
That's part of their saying. I mean, we specialize and not specialize in one thing. So.
Sounds like Bruce Lee. Don't have motion or don't have form. Be like water. Be able to, you know, change up your style and everything. That's really cool. Yeah. Swimming, that's where you lost me right there. I'd lose.
I'm right with you.
I can't get in the water. I'm just sinking. That's really cool, though.
So you were in regionals last year and making the transition from bodybuilding to CrossFit. You were training for less than a year and you made it to regionals, which is pretty impressive. And probably has a lot to do with, like you were saying, you were losing athleticism while bodybuilding, so you kind of switched up your bodybuilding style.
Yep.
So that probably made it a nice smooth transition. But how, I guess, difficult was the beginning to actually making regionals in that short period of time?
I mean, I think like anybody starting CrossFit will realize, I mean, it's probably one of the hardest things you've ever done in the beginning. I know for me, you know, winning a lot of bodybuilding titles, you know, I felt like I was in pretty good shape. I was fairly strong going into CrossFit. But doing one of my first workouts was, I believe it was Cindy, all bodyweight workout. 20-minute AMRAP of 5 pull-ups, 10 push-ups, 15 squats. You know, 20 minutes of that, I mean, it's kind of humbling to think that, well, you know, like, you're pretty out of shape. You can't do this, you know? So I think that's the one thing, kind of like you mentioned earlier, Tim, too. You just kind of got to check your ego at the door. And, you know, I mean, it's humbling for everybody. We all start at the same place, no matter what your background is. I think what helped me, though, is I did have a pretty good strength background. I wasn't more like an endurance athlete or somebody that's never really lifted before.
Yeah.
So I had that part of my background there. It was learning a lot more like the gymnastic-type movements and getting your kip in, and a lot of my endurance, I think, for me, was a big thing there.
Okay. I think it's funny, because when I came in the gym, you know, I was just like those guys, you know, I was like, you know what, I have an athletic background, I was in track, I was in football, I used to lift, you know, it's going to be tough, but whatever, you know, one of my first days, handstand push-ups, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I'm in the wrong place. But it was a killer, I loved it, though. It was just my type of workout.
Even beyond like some of the more difficult movements like handstand push-ups or muscle-ups or things like that, whenever the conversation about working out comes up with anybody and it's not CrossFit related, I can't like listen to it anymore. I'm just like, can you just come once? Can you try this out?
Yeah, Tim won't let me go back to Planet Fitness.
You almost can't even explain it to people. You gotta like try it. You know,
have to experience it.
Yeah, no matter how much you explain it, you don't do it justice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I got a funny thing on muscle-ups. Like, you just mentioned that. Like, I was able to do a muscle-up my first try, but rope climbing took me, like, forever to rope climb.
The technique in it.
Like,
yeah, because I can rope, like, I can all arm strength, like, rope climb. Yeah. But you guys do, like, a weird, like, leg twist.
If you use your feet and all that, man, it took me, like, I don't even know how long, but I struggle in that to get my footing down and all that. And first time I tried a muscle-up, I was able to get it, which... Now I'm more efficient at it. I mean, I did it the hard way. It didn't look pretty, but I was able to do them.
How's the bodybuilding community compared to the CrossFit community? Go ahead.
Well, I guess I think the CrossFit community, like in general, I think they're very supportive, you know, of each other. I mean, you go in a workout, I mean, everybody, like, you go to a CrossFit gym and a big box gym. I mean, mm-hmm. Everybody pretty much after a few weeks knows everybody's name. Your first day after a workout, everybody's congratulating you, slapping you 5, you know.
Yeah.
You know, very supportive that way. Yeah. Whereas you go to the big box gym, you know, I didn't know half the people there, or you just nod to people and say, hey, but you don't really sit there and, I guess, support people and talk to them and all that. Whereas, you know, CrossFit, we get in and we get out, we get our workout in. You know, there could be people at different levels, but you're still there cheering them on, supporting them, pushing you. I think you get a better workout that way, too. But the atmosphere, too, it's less intimidating than going into a big box gym, you know?
Yeah, that's what I would have thought. It was, like, more, like, just intimidating going into one of those things. You just, you know, go in there, everyone's raw.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of people think that, but it's not. You know, I mean, everybody, you'll have some of the nicest people and friends you'll ever meet, you know, in a CrossFit gym, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, in bodybuilding, I mean, don't necessarily see people other than when you're on stage or compete, you know, I mean, so you don't really necessarily know those people.
Yeah.
You know, everybody I've met through bodybuilding, you know, a lot of those guys are pretty cool.
When you're on stage, like, what is, because I know there's, you know, something to the poses and everything. What is that? Is it just accentuates certain muscles or?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a big thing too. I mean, posing with the whole bodybuilding side, I mean, it's a lot harder than people think as well.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you got to keep the whole body tense, even though they might call out like a bicep pose or something.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at you from your feet all the way up and you want to see everything. They're basically looking for, because I've judged too and done things with that, but you're basically looking for symmetry all around, muscle mass, you know, you want to be very proportionate, lean, all that. So you're looking for a bunch of things. So
vascular, see those veins.
A little bit of everything, yeah.
Do you ever miss bodybuilding or not? I would not the workouts, I guess, because I know how much you enjoy CrossFit, but I mean, getting out there and
performing, like,
yeah. You know, it is pretty cool. I actually started judging though now, so I judge like one show a year, just because it is pretty cool. You know, they're both different, CrossFit and bodybuilding, pretty two opposite type of things, but you know, it is fun. You know, when you are at a bodybuilding show, I mean, most of the people are pretty cool. So I mean, it is cool doing that and seeing that and seeing people do their routines and just knowing all the work you had to put in leading up into that. You know, it's kind of cool. But yeah, as far as going on stage again and going back to that traditional style of training, I don't think I'll ever do that again.
Yeah.
So are there like certain like moves that are held over others as far as bodybuilding? Like they say bicep pose, you have free range to choose which bicep pose, and does it matter?
They're pretty much standard. I mean, some people might do a few little tricks and different things. I mean, it's basically an illusion to make whatever you can do to make your body appear better than everybody else up there. And I think that's one thing that I was pretty good at. Like, my symmetry was good, but I knew how to pose, where a lot of people, they didn't know how to pose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was fortunate enough, like I said, when I first started, the guys there and trainers there really helped me. They're really good with that. So I learned from a very young age, and I think that's something that really helped me in the long run that way. So,
all right, back to like CrossFit and community. I guess it's like the sense of community that CrossFit provides is amazing. What I feel at our gym, I talk to a lot of people at our gym, but even the people that I don't talk to as much, like, I feel just as close with them as anybody else. And I haven't felt something like that since jiu-jitsu. So it's pretty cool. And a few months ago, Kevin Ogar, he was at an event and he severed his spine. And I know what you guys are probably going to think, oh, see, CrossFit's dangerous. But the event was an Olympic lifting, what was it, a 3-rep snatch?
It was, yeah, like a snatch.
And it was on the first rep, right?
I believe so, yeah.
So he goes to do a snatch and, you know, some freak accident happens and he severs his spine. But what I'm trying to get to is that the CrossFit community came together. They got hundreds of thousands of dollars right away. They did a bunch of auctions. They're supporting him through the whole process. He's, you know, working out now. I've seen him swimming. He's doing everything he can. And yep. You know,
swimming from a severed spine? That's crazy.
That was like a few weeks after.
I think I've seen him doing 14.4, like, with like not the real rower, but they have those vertical ones where you use more of your arms. I don't know what you'd call them, but Concept 2 makes a different type of rower. And
okay.
I thought I saw him doing that too. So
yeah, it's nuts. Yeah, and like I said, that was like the greatest thing to some journalists. They're like, oh, this is what I've been waiting for. This, you know, this injury. Yeah. Yes, here attacks. We go. And they attack CrossFit like they've been doing. It's kind of like Bitcoin in a way. They keep attacking it, but it just keeps getting stronger.
They don't like it, man. They'll find whatever bad, you know, not to mention everyone that's doing CrossFit that doesn't have a severed spine, but that one guy.
Yeah. Well, they said, too, a lot of it, like, it was a lot of pre-existing stuff. So when he didn't do anything wrong. His movement looked pretty solid.
Yeah.
And, I mean, what do you have on there, 265, 275 pounds, something like that. Like, to do a snatch, I mean, for those of you that don't know, you're basically going from ground all the way above your head with 265 pounds. You can't do that with bad form. I don't care who you are. I mean,
that's definitely true.
Yeah, I mean, so to do that, I don't know. I just hate when people knock it because
there's
it's
so
not
much
CrossFit. That's
it's Olympic bad weightlifting.
Yeah.
And there's so much that goes into the Olympic movements. It's a thing of beauty.
It's so technical.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. I got to show up to those Olympic lifting classes. I think I had something to do this weekend, but it takes a bit to get the form down.
Yeah. I mean, your cleans and snatch movements, I mean, they can take years to perfect. And, you know, that's something I've been going to and working a lot on for myself, too, and going to different seminars, workshops, certifications on that just to better myself and bring it back to you guys, too. You know, I mean,
yeah, go ahead.
I'm just saying, well, it's just an ongoing thing. You can never stop learning no matter who you are, I guess. I mean, I'm always learning stuff, and, you know, that's a neat thing about it, you know. You can always get better.
Yeah, as you keep going to all these certs and getting better at the Olympic movements, I remember you were stuck at the snatch at, I can't remember the weight, but there was one day, there wasn't too many people in the gym, but you just started putting on more weight and more weight, and you just kept hitting the snatches, and we were just like, what the fuck is going on?
Well, like, I stuck at 205 on the snatch for forever, and then I finally hit, like, 215, and this was, like, 3 weeks after now. Like, it was, I think it was on Thanksgiving that we were there. We had an open gym, and I remember you and Billy and I were there, and you guys both PR'd, and I wasn't even feeling it that day. My quad right above my knee was tight. I'm like, I'm not going for anything. And, you know, and like, I hit 215. I think I hit 205, and I'm like, I'm going to go for 225. And I hit it. I'm like, oh, that was pretty easy. And then we throw on more weight, 235. You know, I missed, like, the first attempt, and then, like, 2 seconds later, when, like, I did it and I hit it again, I'm like, oh, that wasn't too bad. 245, hit it.
What the fuck?
255. I stood it all the way up, and then, like, I couldn't lock my right arm out. So it's like, kind of bummed about that, but yeah. I mean,
wow.
Once those things start clicking with those Olympic movements, it just, your weights get shot up.
Well,
it's all technique.
I think the biggest thing that was there, I mean, I didn't work on any other strength stuff for there, but like you said, we drilled a lot of technique. That's all we were doing, is working on technique. Very low weight. Like, we weren't even probably working half that amount of weight, probably 100 pounds less than that. And, you know, you practice, it's the little things that really add up over time that, you know, you'll see big gains that way.
That's another thing I got to get through my head. Stop putting more weight on. Just get the form down. Because, you know, if I feel like, man, I don't feel this, I'm putting more weight on until I feel something instead of getting the form right, which I guess is another ego thing.
You'll get it. Keep working at it. Keep showing up.
Yeah, just don't give up. And
you're gonna be a stud. We'll take a picture. We have that picture of the three of us. Oh, we'll take another one a year from that
we'll
date.
Do it.
Same clothing, same pose.
Before and after.
Yeah,
that'd be a pretty cool picture, to be honest.
Yeah, that would be.
I know. I gotta get more time to do it. I've done it. It's so hard. How do you guys do the 5:30, man? That's crazy.
You know, it's hard for me to work out that early. I tried the other day right after that class, and squatting and all that. I was able to do that, but it's not the same as a few hours later.
And that's the only time that I have, like, available throughout the day. I mean, I can make it to the Wednesdays and Saturdays, but, like, the morning thing, I try to do it once, like, set my alarm, like, all right, I'll get up at 4:30.
You know, you do get used to it. Like, I feel I can't train that heavy that early, but
yeah.
I mean, there's a time when I was working 70 hours a week at a different job, and I'd have to get to the gym at 5 o'clock, and you actually get used to it and whatnot. So, I mean, it does take some time.
So I just gotta stop being a pussy. That's just
man up, man.
That's what I heard. That's all I heard. That's all it
is. it's hard to start. But, like, I think that goes with any fitness program. I mean, starting is always the hardest part. And, you know, once you get going and stay committed, I mean, stopping is even harder. So just get going.
All right. Cool. Got to get that down then.
Now, I'm always trying to push to everyone, you know, I guess, follow your passion, do what you want to do. Try to figure out a way, you know, to not get locked into the traditional route. And right now I'm at UPS, but I'm making little changes along the way to try to, you know, do my own thing. And you've actually done that. You figured it out. You like you said, you work, was it 70 hours a week?
Yep.
And now, you know, you're a gym owner, and I mean, you're busy, but it, I mean, it's probably fun when you're at the gym.
You know, it doesn't seem like work, I guess. I mean, you're there, you're helping people, helping them reach your goals, things like that. I mean, that's something that I've always wanted to do. And like I said, I mean, I started working out, working at a gym when I was 18, started training right then. And, you know, I did that all throughout, even when I was an electrician. You know, I was training on the side and still at clients, things like that. And so I did that for about 13 years, you know, a little bit less until I opened up my own gym. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing to do that. And, you know, I recommend if anybody can, you know, start making those little changes now. I mean, you can't just quit your job and do that. I mean, yeah. I was actually kind of forced to, you know, after the economy hit, I mean, I didn't,
oh yeah,
I was laid off for about 3 years and whatnot. And, you know, so I really had nothing, no other option to do that. Before that, I started working with a nutritional company and actually built that up to pay my mortgage and my car payment before I got laid off.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually replaced my electrical income. You know, I built it up enough to replace that, and that's actually what allowed me to open up my gym, something I've always wanted to do, you know, since I was 18.
Man, there's something about being just balls to the walls that gets shit done, huh?
You got it, GSD.
If you want, you can talk about that a little more. I don't know if you're trying to avoid the name or anything, but you can go ahead and speak freely on your transition from 70 hours to, you know, free time.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I was always, I guess I'm different as far as most people. I mean, everybody's like, you got to work, you got to have a job. And, you know, job, it's just over broke is, if you ask me, that's what it stands for. I mean, everybody I know that's working their typical job, I mean, a lot of people are living paycheck to paycheck, and 80% of people don't like their jobs. I mean, like you said, UPS, I mean, it's something you don't want to do it forever.
Oh, no.
I knew when I was an electrician, I didn't want to do that forever. Yeah. You know, one winter I was outside every day but 3 days. You know, I was on the side of a building putting tape on a wire, taping wires on the pipes so they don't freeze, and I hated it, you know. So basically I looked at, you know, as a big nutritional supplement user, I started using AdvoCare products back in 2006. And AdvoCare actually has a business opportunity that comes along with the company. If you choose to do it, you don't have to, but, you know, it took me about 4 years to look at the opportunity. And I happened to actually be on the side of a building working with this older guy, and we were talking. He's like, yeah, this is the last year I'm going to be able to actually like work outside in a cold and all that. And I think I was like 28 at the time, and I remember thinking myself, and this guy, he's older, almost 50. I'm like, man, I don't want to do that when I'm 30, you know, let alone like when I'm his age, you know. So I actually called up the guy that got me introduced to AdvoCare, and, you know, I'm like, what are you doing? Because I've seen him, like when I first got introduced to him, he's making about $100,000 a year, which, that's awesome.
Yeah.
When I decided to look at the business side that AdvoCare provides, he's making $30,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
$30,000 a month, not a year, a month. So I'm like, he's doing, all right, what are you doing? I'm like, you got to help me.
Yeah.
You know, I know my job's going to come to an end. And that's kind of when the economy was just starting to fall. I knew that job was going to come to an end. So I'm like, what do I got to do? You know, and basically I kind of listened to him, and I think that's key. You know, if you want to do something, you got to find a good mentor that has been there and done what you want to do, and somebody that's been there basically, and, you know, ask them to help, you know.
Just a student looking for a teacher, huh?
Pretty much. I mean, you gotta. I mean, so find somebody that's been where you want to go and do that, and he's been able to help me, and like I said, I replaced my electrical income with that. Been able to open up a CrossFit gym and help even more people, and that's a cool thing, you know, with AdvoCare. I mean, I've been able to help people outside of just a gym, and there's people I have in other states that are helping people. I mean, I guess I look at it, would I rather help 10 people right here in front of me, or would I rather help 10 people help 10 other people and help 100, you know? So that's the beauty about AdvoCare that way too. I'm helping them both physically and financially. that way, as well as, you know, people in my gym as well too. So get the best of everything.
Yeah. Now off the air, I talked to DJ probably, I think, a day or two about not using this like as a place to talk about AdvoCare because I'm involved with it too. But yep. I thought it was important for you to like share your story because it is what got you, you know, to actually opening up the gym. And yep. if anyone is interested, I will tell you, I 100% believe in the products. You know, I use them. But both of you,
I'm a distributor too.
both of you know. Yeah. I won't talk about it in future podcasts. But if you guys are interested, you could tweet any of us, and we can get you started or just inform you more about it. I'll have Corey's Twitter handle on the show notes along with ours too.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah. So how you doing in open right now?
Open, you know, I'm after last work I got bumped up like 41 spots or so.
Whatever, it's just 40 spots or so.
You know, so I'm actually kind of upset. Like, not that it, nothing I could really do. Like a week before the open started, I got the flu.
Oh yeah.
So I ended up taking 4 days completely off of working out. Ended up losing between 8 and 10 pounds. So the Monday before the release to workout, which is like 4 days before, that was my first workout back, and it was kind of half-assed. I had like no energy, nothing. Mm-hmm. Tuesday I worked out, kind of the same thing, you know, I felt a little bit better. Didn't do anything Wednesday. I planned to, but we had some issues that came up, just wasn't able to get my workout in. Mm-hmm. And then Thursday was just a scheduled rest day I had because I wanted to hit the workout up on Friday. And, you know, my first go around, I could definitely tell, you know, my endurance and stuff. I lost a lot of that. Mm-hmm. I actually didn't gain all my weight back until 3 weeks into the open. So after 14.3 is where this last workout that we had, actually gained my weight back. I actually felt good going into that workout. It was the best one I felt at the first two. I feel like I kind of messed those two up, you know, and not that I had bad scores, but they weren't my best performance I could have done.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can do about it now. You know, I mean, it happens. All I can do is push hard now these last 2 weeks here and see where I end up. And, you know, there's a lot of things I learned from it too that I need to work on a little bit more, tweak a little bit better in my training. So, you know, there's always something good out of it, even though I'm not sitting where I want to be right now. I've learned a lot about myself and a lot of the other athletes too that were here, that we have on our team here from the gym. I mean, a lot of different things there. That I think that's the biggest thing too, seeing how they all performed, different weaknesses that they had, some of their strengths. So, I mean, learning from that and just how we can tweak our programming for those that want to compete a little bit differently, mm-hmm. you know, I think that helped a lot. You know, we're only into our third week here, but I think that was huge. So
that's weird because when I had a teacher, it was like a health and wellness class or whatever. She was telling me when you work out, like if you were to stop working out for a certain amount of time, it actually takes like twice the amount of time to lose what you gained. Is that, do you know if that's true or not? Or
I mean, they say your muscles atrophy if you, I don't know, I think stop working them, you know, like 3-4 days, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's really the biggest thing I think of having the flu. I mean, I didn't eat for like 2 days. I couldn't keep anything down.
Mm-hmm.
Second day I had it, I was in the bathroom literally, not to gross everybody out, but once or twice every hour, like everything, forget the plans all had. I mean, I had nothing in me. I just pounded water and rehydrate like crazy. And I mean, that's all I could really do. I couldn't hold anything down. I couldn't eat.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until like the weekend where I finally got some real food in me. And I think the biggest thing is, my strength didn't go down as much. I mean, it dropped a little bit, but for me, I think it was endurance mm-hmm. that killed me more than the strength. I think my strength's pretty much back where it was now before that, but endurance was hard. I mean, actually, Keith, you know Keith from the gym.
Yeah.
Same thing with him. He took like 2-3 days off, and that's the same thing he felt. I mean, he's awesome at bodyweight movements and burpees, and last week he's doing burpees, and it just killed him having the flu, mm-hmm. just missing 2-3 days, you know? Yeah. So I think it's more of an endurance thing that it affects you rather than a lot of the strength. So
yeah, crazy. It's crazy to watch all the transformations of bodies and, you know, skills increasing over time. It's cool to be around.
Yeah,
especially Aaron or.
Yeah.
Is that the Zez name?
Aaron, the taller guy?
Yeah.
Yep.
That transformation is crazy.
He's amazing. Like, when he told us he lost 20 pounds right away, like, in the challenge, like, we're like, really? Like, where? Like, because he's a taller guy. Yeah. I'd say probably 6'3", 6'4". But when you see people in, like, shorts and a t-shirt, I mean, you don't really see him with their shirt off. I mean, he carries it well.
Mm-hmm.
And his before and after pictures are just amazing. I mean, now he's all ripped up, six pack, all that. You know, he lost like 45 pounds in 6 months.
Yeah, I'm gonna put those pictures in the show notes because it's a total.
It's amazing. Like, yeah.
The workout that pisses me off with CrossFit, it's those goddamn double unders. I got to get those down because you're taking so much more time to do triple the amount, you know.
Yeah, that'll get you.
look for a guy named Billy Weber. Billy Weber. Talk to Billy Weber.
He's double under pro right there.
Yes. Man, I mean, it's just like, it's just coordination. I don't know. It's weird too with CrossFit. Like, I never know what workout, like what muscle I'm working out until the next day. Like, all right, what am I working out? And the next day, I'm like, my forearms. that's what that was.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, and I didn't do the workout since Saturday? Saturday,
yeah.
So yeah, now I'm like, all right, it was my forearms, my legs, my abs.
A little bit of everything.
That's really funny to me. Yeah. You don't know how much you use a muscle until it hurts. Like, I'm like, after CrossFit, you know, the next day I'm putting on my shirt, like, I use my back to put my shirt on.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
So how are you feeling about the Open, Tim? I mean, I know you're training really hard with us. Oh, you had some injuries. I think that's one thing that really I was impressed by, just you overcoming a lot of those obstacles. I mean, yeah. I think that's a big story right there to help inspire some people. I mean, because face them.
Yeah.
But you're in there working.
Yeah, for me, months leading up to the Open, I mean, I started CrossFit on my own, but I kind of gave it a break until I started training under Corey. And that was during last year's Open, so I've pretty much been training for a whole year for this Open, and I was so jacked about it. I mean, I'm still excited. It's a fun time, right?
Yeah.
But I don't remember how many months ago I was doing an Olympic movement, had slow elbows. I caught it kind of bad, I guess, and I kind of jacked up my wrist. It took a while to get better. And here's what I'm talking about, ego, because the day that I was able to clean again, which is how I hurt my wrist, I just kept going up and up and up and up. And then I threw on, you know, a weight I've never completed. The day I was able to
first
do it again.
First day back.
And it just didn't work out. Messed up the other wrist. And now it's like the last Open workout had cleans in it. And I'm like, oh, crap, I'm not going to be able to do these cleans.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, I figured a way to do it that's, you know,
it worked.
Okay, I mean, with the movement. I mean, that was a fun workout.
It's fun. Made it all the way. You made it further than a lot of people would have made it in that workout. So that's very impressive.
Thank you.
How long have you been doing CrossFit, Tim?
Well, a year, like, at an affiliate.
Okay.
And before that, I don't know, a few months. I ran into it online somehow. I started doing it in my basement. And real quick to kind of go off topic, a lot of the people that talk about CrossFit form, mm-hmm. and the people at the big box gyms, I've learned so much more from being at a CrossFit box about technique.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these guys in big box gyms, girls too, think they have everything down. Oh, they know how to squat, they know how to deadlift, and maybe it's okay, but it's not as good as it should be.
Yep, and that's big.
And sorry, what?
I was just asking about your background and how you get
started. Oh yeah, so I found it online somehow, and it wasn't the same until I actually started going to Corey's gym.
And, that's kind of the thing too, like, I was adding CrossFit workouts into my bodybuilding routines to, like, lean out, and I didn't even know what CrossFit was.
Yeah.
Like, when I started, I'm like, oh, this is kind of like what I'm doing already, but...
No, I'd go into a Cardinal or Experience, whatever they call it these days. This guy would have some huge dumbbells and, like, stack boxes just jumping up there like it isn't shit. I'm like, this motherfucker here.
There's those people in the gyms too that just like they'll put on plate after plate after plate, walk around, wait for somebody to look. It's like, yeah, I'm gonna lift this. Yeah. Walk around some more, just trying to get a crowd. Then he like doesn't even lift it. He's like, oh, I can't do this. Screw it. Everyone's all excited.
Back to CrossFit and community. Little injuries like what I went through. I mean, it's not too big of an injury, but it definitely like prevents me from training as hard as I, you know, can. But honestly, like it's like a depressing thing to go through, but everybody around me just made sure, you know, keep doing something, keep moving. And there was points where I wasn't training as hard as I should be, but at least I was doing something. But then, you know, with all the support from everybody around me, figured out a way to,
yep,
you know, throw things together. Corey helped me figure something out.
Always something we can modify. And yeah,
I feel like if I like I'm too prideful, so like I feel like if I hurt myself, I'm gonna be like, fuck this shit, I'm gonna do it anyways and just hurt myself more.
Ego.
That's just how I am. I mean, but mm-hmm. When I messed my shoulder up, you know, I took off and I recognized it as a different type of pain. I was like, wait, this is not a no muscle pain. You know, I think I like messed something up in my shoulder.
Yeah.
My second time there, I forget what we were doing, but I just recognized it. I was like, I can't.
I think you're gonna learn to differentiate different things as you keep coming to CrossFit. I mean, I stay sore pretty much all the time. you're gonna figure out different things, and even like just your body itself, how it moves, and like yeah. The hips, like it's so weird now.
Your hips, your mobility is gonna increase. I think
you're gonna increase your hip thrust, DJ.
That's quite a talent to have.
good, huh?
So, the games, is that a goal?
You know, I'd like it to be. I mean, I know there's a lot of work I need to do. One of my goals is to try to make it roughly in the top 10 of regionals.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes this year. I mean, I know there's a lot, especially like you said, with the Olympic lifts, my strength in a few different areas there. I need a lot of work on that, you know. So long term, yeah, I mean, I'm getting up there. I'm older, so I'm one of the older competitors. Not that I'm really old, but 32, I mean, that's...
still a stud.
I get to hang with all you young guys. And but, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind doing that. And, you know, I'm going to regional another few years and trying to make it past there.
Goal for me, do whatever you can do to help me get to regionals next year. Like, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to give you everything I got.
Like I said, until you tweak your wrist, I mean, you're making great gains. So 32. We just got to plug away.
My dad would be so pissed to meet you.
He's like, looks like a figurine.
I think he's 35. My dad's 35. So,
hey, man.
You look like you're in college, dude.
Bring him to CrossFit.
Yeah. We'll make him 20 years younger.
That would be interesting to see if he keeps up with that.
But you see all the different body types, ages, yeah. You know. It's for everyone.
I know.
Exactly.
I mean, he's tried. Like, we've done different things together. I mean, we've done P90X. We've done Insanity. He's done the stuff. You know?
That is another thing. When I bring up CrossFit, I'm like, oh, but I do Insanity. I'm just like, face palm.
Yeah.
Please just stop.
I mean, some of that stuff's pretty, I mean, like, the plyometrics and stuff like that, it's like, it's high. It's almost just like CrossFit, you know? It's just different body movements and things like that. It's nothing. It's not even lifting. It's, you know, just...
It's
plyometrics.
It can be hard, but it doesn't compare.
Obviously. I'm just saying, like, it's something, you know.
That, I know it is. Honestly, I mean, if they want to do that, that's fine with me.
Yeah.
But when they try to compare it, that's just where I'm just like,
move. No, I'm just meaning that he's up for trying different things
because
mm-hmm. we've done like those different things.
So Zumba next for you then?
I don't know about that dancing class shit.
They have water Zumba.
I've heard it's fun and I've heard it's somewhat tough, I guess. I don't know. I just couldn't do the whole like hip swing and all that shit.
Yeah.
So what about life after CrossFit? Not that you're going to stop CrossFit ever, but I guess as a competitor, maybe you might slow it down some point. I don't know. Who knows how long down the road, but... What do you want to do? You want to travel? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm always going to CrossFit, always going to work out. I mean, fitness has been a part of my life forever. So, you know, I just want to be able to be financially set and not have to worry about money and be able to travel and have a family and you know, spend time with them when I want and whenever I can, mm-hmm. you know, so not have to have really anything holding me back for that. So
yeah, I like Joe Rogan's philosophy on money. You want to have enough money so that you don't have to think about money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Want you not to worry about paying bills or whatever. We'll let you know how traveling goes in June. Since we'll be in, what, Panama City for 21 hours?
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll be in Peru.
Nice. So,
do they have a CrossFit box in the jungle?
Do they have one everywhere?
Okay.
Swing from maybe some rings.
We can borrow you some rings and okay.
Some kettlebells.
Do some muscle ups there. And
we can make some ropes out of the
yeah,
vines.
Out of the vines. Rope climbs and muscle ups. And maybe by then DJ will have his double unders down. Or
I was going to order a speed rope in practice. So it was...
Yeah, for double unders for me, I was just keep working at them.
Yeah, that's
and listen to the people talking to you. I see people, coaches, I mean, you're a coach, so you know, you tell people a certain thing and sometimes they just don't want to hear it. Yeah. And it's like, I'm trying to help you. Yeah. Just please listen.
You told my partner, well, he does the rope. He does this weird thing where his arm's like way out here.
You know, I was telling him, like, no.
Wait, who is that?
Josh.
I knew it.
Yeah,
I know that was double unders.
Yeah.
I'm like, it looked weird to me too.
You know, they took me a while too to get. Like, the one thing I did, I think if you practice them too much, you're going to burn yourself out and get frustrated.
Yeah.
But also burn out your calves, your Achilles tendons, all that. So what I did, I mean, I practice them every day, anywhere from 2 to 4 minutes probably, and put it up, you know, no matter how I did it. If I got a few in a row, I'd hit some, and then I'd stop. And otherwise, you'd get frustrated tripping up and all that. But like you mentioned, Tim, I mean, I think the biggest thing I see too, I mean, just listen to your coach or your trainer, no matter where you're at. And there's so much out there, and I think if you listen to too many different things, I mean, you're going to do more harm than good. Mm-hmm. So listen to your coach, trainer, stick with one thing, try to do that. I mean, it's good to hear other people's opinions and all that, but listen to somebody that's been there that knows what they're doing and find like a good resource, I should say, not listen to 20 different things and people that don't know what they're doing, you know, so... Yeah.
I get frustrated just doing them in the workout.
I think we all do.
Like a pound through. Man, that's what's cool though. Like it's, you know, it's a battle against yourself.
Yeah.
So nobody can get mad about yourself, you know.
Yeah.
It just makes you push harder.
Yeah, it's cool. Coming from like jiu-jitsu, you're battling somebody else, and that's fun too. I mean, that's a whole crazy animal on its own. But then here I come over to CrossFit, and I'm battling myself. And it's a crazy feeling. It's you against yourself.
Yep.
Yeah.
It gets wild.
It does.
There's times where I hit like a meditative state in the workout where it's just like autopilot. Just kind of forget what's going on and then you're on the floor.
I think sometimes you have to. I mean, especially now at the Open, I mean, the way you do an Open workout and the way you do like a regular class workout, I think are two different things. I mean, you're laying everything out there on the table, whereas all your other workouts, it's practice. You know, you're not going necessarily 110% in practice, but you are pushing it. So I think it's, you're hitting that certain mental state where you got to block a lot of that out, get that mental toughness and push beyond that, you know, point sometimes.
How can people improve their mental toughness?
You know, I mean, actually, you know, buddy, you told me about this book.
You like that book?
The 10-Minute Mental Toughness?
Yeah, dude.
That's a great book. So I don't know if you can, what you do with your notes, but that's a good book if you want to.
Yeah, I'll throw that in the show notes.
Let people know about that.
10-Minute Toughness is a really good book. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I'd recommend reading that. That'll help you out. I do a lot of reading, too, and just personal growth type of books. So a lot of those things kind of help. I think the cumulative thing of a lot of little things you do and...
I read a lot of stuff like that too. Every time I read like those like inspirational like things like that, just makes me look at myself and I'm like, man, I'm such a jackass. Like, why can't I just do that, you know?
What I've noticed with people that read the people around me, I mean, I don't know everybody, but the people around me that read certain inspirational books and things like that, they need to do what you're doing, because a lot of people will read that and think, okay, one day One day it'll happen, but they're not they're not taking the steps necessary. Even it doesn't matter how little, you got to do something.
Like your cup, right?
Get shit done. You got to get shit done.
Yes. Right? Exactly. That's it. I mean, that's the biggest thing. I mean, like you said, most people don't take action.
Write that shit down and get that shit done.
Yeah. You know, that right there, that's key too. I think if you can write your goals down, you're like way more successful or have a better chance of writing your goals down or of reaching your goals if they're wrote down on paper.
Yeah.
If they're not on paper, I mean, it's just an idea. It's just there. It's not even a goal.
It's UPS.
I mean, you got to write that down.
At UPS, they say if it's not documented, it didn't happen.
Exactly. So write that shit down. Get shit done.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah, well, Corey has a lot of... He has to be up early, open the gym early. He is going to... do the open workout tomorrow. Take another stab at it.
Yep.
He'll make it back to the rower.
Yep.
And we'll leave it at that. Write shit down. Get shit done. Figure out what you want to do.
Message of the day.
Yep.
You know, I mean, think about what you really want to do and figure out a way to do that. You know, I mean, there's some people that are going to want to be accountants and lawyers and stuff like that, and that's fine. But what do you want to do personally? You know, figure that out and start writing shit down. Start getting shit done.
Yeah.
Anything else, guys?
Yep. I think you hit it right on the head. I mean, write it down, and you can't forget about writing your plan out, how you're going to get there. So
that's a big one, too, how you're going to get there. Some people write it down and don't know where to start and just get discouraged. Yeah. So definitely plan it out, too.
Yep.
All right, guys. It's been fun, and we'll see you next time.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, for sure. It was great. It was great.
We'll have to do it again.
For sure, for sure. Write shit down. Get shit done. And be cool to everyone. See you later, guys.
See ya.
See ya.